on March 15th in Dallas.
What's up, listeners? It's your host, Chief Swiftwater, jumping in for the Local Obscene Season 6, Episode 9. Yes, Episode 69. I can't believe we've come this far, and I have an absolute delightful treat for you. We headed on over to Cloudland Studios in Fort Worth and crashed that jam. That's right, another episode of Jam Crashers with Mean Motor Scooter, talking about their brand new album coming up this Saturday. It's dropping everywhere. You can stream it. It's gonna be fucking sick. And it goes by the name Daydreamer. Mean Motor Scooter dropping a fucking album called Daydreamer. How epic is that? Very, very exciting. They have some release shows coming up. We're going to get to all of that. But first, how about we just do that housekeeping, knock it out of the way, so we have a nice and tidy house before we get fucking crazy and have a party. Okay. Hey, do you want to be on the Local Obscene? Shoot me an email at localobscene@gmail.com. Or you can give us a follow on Instagram at Local Obscene and just shoot me a direct message. What do you do? Are you in a band? Are you a comedian? Are you a poet? Are you someone who puts together events? Do you own a venue? Do you take limbs from corpses and reanimate them into some kind of comorphous? Yes, I just made that word up. Comorphous blob of sentient flesh. I want to know. Send me that email. Send me that message. Let's get you on the show. If you could please, how about you head on over to wherever you're streaming this episode. Give us a review. Give us a rating if that is an option. And help us beat the fucking algorithm, all right? We need to climb the charts. We need to get these bands all of the fucking views and streams that we possibly can and the exposure. And that's, you know, the way you're gonna do that, at least through this show, is sharing those links, giving us those likes and those ratings and helping us climb the charts. Hell to the yes. The Local Obscene also does photography now, so if you want to get some fresh fucking band photos, some business photos, some pictures of your big fluffy cat, I take pictures of my big fluffy cat all the time, and they're incredible, and they're memories that I'll keep forever precious, close to my heart. Please, same process, email, DM, let's snap some sick-ass fucking pictures. Okay, I think that's all the housekeeping I have for you today. How about we jump on into that exciting, insane episode of Jam Crashers with Mean Motor Scooter talking about their brand new album, Daydreamer. But first, let's hear a track off of this album. This song's called Not Cool. We'll be right back. are here with Mean Motor Scooter ascending to the land in the clouds, otherwise known as Cloudland Studios, in Fort Worth for another exhilarating episode of Jam Crashers, where we show up to your spot and crash your jam. Welcome to the local obscene.
What's up? What's up?
Howdy.
State your name and what you do in the band.
I'm Sammy. I sing and I play guitar.
I'm Joe, and I play the bass.
I'm Mike, and I play drums.
I'm Will, and I play the lead guitar.
Hell yeah. So what is the origin story of Mean Motor Scooter?
Oof, origin, man. I guess it would start when I was about 25, 24, and I decided that I was tired of the whole acoustic aesthetic playing solo, and I wanted to get my friends back together and start a band. So I started writing some fucking tunes, and we bumped into Joe because he was going to record those tunes, and then inadvertently became the bass player.
Yeah. And ten years later, still here.
Yeah, it worked out. So that's pretty much what happened.
Very nice. What about the name Mean Motor Scooter?
Okay, so, you know, you're watching From Dusk Till Dawn, and you hear something that resonates with you, and you go, that would make a great band name. And you go, hey guys, at the next practice, we're going to change our band name. And but Joe had the bright idea of, instead of the Mean Motor Scooters, to just Mean Motor Scooter, which is much cleaner and much better. So I got to give him props for that.
But yeah, it's a line.
What was it before?
It was Endless Sky, my solo act name.
Oh, dude, major.
Which are
major improvement.
The first EP was going to be Endless Sky, and the EP was going to be called Mean Motor Scooter. And then, literally, like, Sammy called me, like, when everything was done and, like, the artwork was ready. And he was like, what do you think about changing the band name to Mean Motor Scooter?
Is that what happened?
Yeah. I was like,
We're learning a lot here, man.
Let's do it. You had been kicking around that for a while, but it started out as just the title of the record.
Oh, okay. I totally blanked on that. I had this vision of us standing outside the practice space, and I was like, this is our name now. And you're like, I don't know about that. And then you came back the next day, and you're like, okay, it is our name, but it's going to be like this.
I think the whole process like was maybe like a month and some change long from like conceiving of that being a cool three words that sound neat together to album title to band name.
Right, yeah.
Love it. Tracks. Shout out Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah. I think Robert Rodriguez, thank you.
Quentin,
you
know, absolutely. From Texas, so. Quentin Tarantino's character, he says you're messing with... Or is it George Clooney's
character?
It's
actually Harvey Keitel who's talking to George Clooney, and George Clooney says, you're messing with some mean motor scooters. Yeah, they're in the RV, and he's basically just telling them, like, don't fuck with me. Like, I will fucking kill you.
Badass. So what are the what would you say is your musical influences?
Oof, man, those range it's different every year, you know. It's like what am I listening to now, you know, which is just like, fuck, I couldn't even tell you the band names because the band names now, you know, listening has changed so much over the years. Like before, you find four or five bands you're obsessed with and you play their records out and you wear them the fuck out and till the point that you're sick of them, you know.
First Fiddler record, every
OC's
record.
That was a big one. That's the, you know, Ty Siegel. Those were all early influences. Nice. But now it's just like I run through a million bands and I take one song that I like, put it on my playlist. And I feel terrible saying this, but I couldn't even tell you most of their band names. I just love the music. And I fucking hate that because it's kind of what it's become. You know, it's like no one's
very
really
true.
Sticking out. That one song might, but as a band or as a, you know, a one band, it's like I couldn't really put my finger on it. It's just a sound that I like and I follow it.
That's a Ty Siegel song, right?
What is?
Finger on.
Oh, it is!
I love that one.
It totally is. Thank you for pointing that out, Will.
Yeah, boy.
Input?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we all have a very diverse amount of influences here. I think all of us like something a little different, which is pretty cool. I started off with a lot of classic rock in my early days, a lot of Led Zeppelin, Rush, and Who, and stuff like that. Going into the 80s, like Replacements and things like that, Dinosaur Jr., Pavement, people like that. Love Nirvana, of course, Foo Fighters as well, and then, you know, even some more modern-day stuff like Jay Retard and people like them as well, so...
I love that you consider Jay Retard modern.
I said a little more modern. A little more modern. But, yeah.
But, yeah. Those are mine. My main.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. I can understand that from hearing you guys at Tulips. Oh, I think that was the last... That was actually the first time I actually heard a whole, like, main loader scooter set. Maybe the first time I have heard a set. But, yeah. Fucking ripped. Imagine.
Thank you. Thanks. You. Those were the new songs, probably, if it was a recent Tulip show.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you liked them, because we'll be releasing them on the 9th. So, March 9th.
Speaking of which, word on the street is that you have a brand new album, Daydreamer, dropping on March 9th, followed by 3 release shows. First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. A full length is no easy task.
Well, you know, I wrote it, I guess it's coming up on a year ago now, and I brought it to the fellas, and I wrote a shitload of songs, and we actually performed a lot of them live, cut them out. I mean, we really whittled this thing down to the best 13 tracks that we all agreed on, and it felt like it flowed really well. It felt like an album, and... I also want to point out the reason it's Daydreamer, 2 words, is it's, you know, a subconscious thing. It's like we are the creators of our own, you know, world that we live in, and through consciousness we make our own realities, you know, each and every one of us, and we live that reality, whether we're aware of it or not. So Daydreamer was just kind of touching on that a little bit. And then the song, Daydreamer, is just about daydreaming. So, two different titles. Same title, but two different subjects, in a sense.
Yeah.
We started recording in, like, April of 23.
Wow.
Yeah. So 10 months?
Yeah.
Great.
We were shooting for 7 months, but, you know, the board had to get set up, shit happens.
A lot of work went into it.
Lot of work went into it, more than we expected.
Yeah. We re-recorded the drums, I think.
We did at least 2 or 3 songs where we just re-recorded them entirely and started over from scratch. So
that was my next question. Right. How'd the recording process
go?
I did it right here in the Cloudlands?
Mm-hmm. We did, every little bit of it.
Oh, actually, February 13th was, like, I think, the first recording day.
Wow. So it's been
just over a year.
Since day one of recording. It always takes a fucking year, but you know what? It's worth it for a good fucking record that I can honestly say I'm really proud of this record. I mean, I released some stuff where, like, later down the road I'm like, why the fuck did I write that way, or why did I do this way? Regardless of how people felt about it, I think I'm going to, for years, feel really good about this record, regardless of how it's received, personally, just for me.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's our best-sounding record, I think.
I think so, too, yeah. I really do. I really believe that.
Hell yeah. So what would you say is the core meaning behind this record?
Man, it's...
it's that's so loaded, man. I love it.
I mean, I have to go to the song Nebulous. Like, it's just... The whole thing is very nebulous. It's just existentialism. It's all the same shit I always write about. It's just a different way of wording it. You know, it's like, instead of talking about extraterrestrials and, you know, the first astronauts and all that shit, or cosmonauts, whatever, you know, it was just a different way of looking at the same topic, essentially. But it's a big part of my life. I don't know. I want to know the answers. I want to peek behind the curtain. I want to see what's going on. And I'll never have those answers, and I'm fine with that, but I'm never going to stop looking. You know?
Yes. The pursuit is the reward.
It's just hardwired in all of us, I think. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely. I have a $300 book that I got in a box, some random old dude that lived in the apartment above me. I didn't know it was $300 until, like, a witch lady pointed it out at a bookstore that I was like, hey, I have this. This looks really weird. And she's like, holy shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's the Necronomicon. Right?
Pretty real much.
Skin. Yeah, this is $300.
On Amazon. You can get a second edition. But yeah, just reading stuff like that, it really does trigger something in my brain of like, I must go deeper.
Yeah, the rabbit hole never ends, but I'm never going to stop digging. So, yeah,
I'm glad
that a lot
that,
of that is part of why you get in a band in the first place, why you start writing music, why you pursue being an artist at all, is because you want to learn more about yourself, you want to learn more about your reality, you want to learn more about the things that you can't express through word. So music is a great way to do that.
Nice. It fills the space between the words with the notes tied to your heart.
Definitely.
Syncing with your brain, causing an epiphany. The metaphysical dimension is opened. Fuck yeah. Well, I'm super pumped to hear this whole record when it drops March 9th. So, tradition has it, on the Local Obscene, we're actually going to play a game show. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, the name of the game is Future Critic. So we're going to jump into the future. All of you are film critics of the year 2062. And I'm going to read you three movie trailers. We're going to do one at a time. And you are going to pretend that you just watched this film. And you're going to give me a out of 10 stars.
Okay.
Review of what you thought. All right. All righty.
Here
we go. Smoke from burnt rubber fills the weapons bay in the cargo hold of the SSS class cosmic destroyer USS Califlorida. As a 1970 Dodge Charger launches towards a closing hatch leading to the cold expanse of outer space, a hand reaches down, flipping up a cover protecting a switch with the word NOS written above. We zoom into the lower half of the driver's face as his lips curl into a smile when he flips this switch. Blue flames erupt from the tailpipe. The camera dives into the inner mechanisms of the vehicle, all the way up to the pumping pistons of the engine. The music stops as the car barrels up the ramp, narrowly slipping through the shrinking opening, drifting towards the stars. The hand reaches over the opening the glove box, revealing a large blinking red button with the words hyperdrive. The hand is balled up into a fist, and a deep, familiar voice says, "Family," before punching the button. Panning to the exterior of the an armor plating begins. He already knows. Panning to the exterior, the armor plating begins shifting, and closing the frame, the exhaust transforms into a thruster. The light of the stars begins to streak as the speed increases to an unfathomable proportion. And then the words appear, "Fast and Furious, The Final Ride, Part 3, rated PG-13.
Part 3 of The Final Ride.
You want to go first, Will?
Honestly, I'm going to give that, I'm gonna do it from the Rotten Tomatoes perspective. I'm gonna give it 85%.
Oh, damn.
I feel like this is a fun ride. This to me is fun. It's ballsy. It's a lot of blast. You know, you bald heads everywhere. It's gonna be great. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I wanna watch it maybe once, maybe twice, maybe even three.
Wow, three times.
85%.
That means you liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like fun.
Oh, I hate the idea that we're in 2063 and we're still using those ideas of propulsion. So I'm going to have to give it 3 stars.
Out of how many?
Out of 10.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the galaxy because we were opening up.
Oh, that'd be real low.
3 stars out of a trillion?
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 stars, only deducting a star because they've already gone to space in a movie. And so
they
absolutely have.
Which one?
It was like 4 or 5.
They did it on 4 or 5 already.
Oh, shit. Oh, maybe it was late. Maybe it was
and
later.
And this is what, like the 13th one?
Oh, this by 63?
No,
that would have to be like
40.
Yeah, 30, 20 or something.
I'm just assuming that we had a break, a long pause, and then brought it back.
Because they're at 10 now if you don't count like Jesus, Hobbs really? And Shaw 10? And stuff.
No, I think it's beyond that now. Isn't
no,
it
was Fast X just came out.
Right? Fast mm-hmm. X. You don't call it Fast 10.
Fast
no.
X.
You go Fast X.
So I would say overall, we have some pretty high ratings. The final critic.
10 out of 10. Sounds like the greatest movie of 2062. Yeah. Hands down.
Definitely.
No competition.
I agree.
You guys made me feel like an asshole.
I mean,
just a harsh
you said
critic,
you were a harsh critic. Yeah. I was joking.
Sammy likes everything.
Wait, who's directing it, though? Is it David Lynch?
Yes.
Okay, oh, David Lynch is 10 out of 10 for Sammy.
Well, if David Lynch is somehow still alive and he wrote it, or if they just took his writings and then remade it, I don't know how I feel about it. I'd have
exactly.
to see it. I mean,
they uploaded his consciousness.
You know, I don't even watch trailers because they ruin the movie for me. I don't want to watch the trailer. I just want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
So, because I tend not to, I'm not going to watch it. I know if I watch the trailer, I don't want to see it unless it's so fucking just right up my alley. Which
right.
rarely is. So,
but then what makes you want to watch it? Like the director, or
yeah,
the
directors,
title of
the casting, who wrote it, shit like that.
Or it won 11 Academy Awards 25
Oh, I don't
ago.
Give a fuck about awards.
I was joking because you just watched Amadeus.
Oh yeah, right.
I actually didn't know it won that many. Well, no, I did because I listened to the podcast. I knew it won a lot of awards. Oh, but the only real reason I watched that is because I knew
a
that it was the lead singer of the Dandy Warhol's favorite movie, and so
yeah.
I was like. I gotta watch it.
Courtney Taylor.
Yeah, that's why I really watched it. Other than the fact that I also listened to it on Spooled, and I was like, okay, this sounds like a movie I'd like.
That movie was shot with only natural light.
Wow.
It felt like a play.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, they didn't have any, like, artificial
They did a really good job.
Like
and
The Revenant.
I heard the laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Was,
yeah.
like,
was that all natural light?
Yeah.
Revenant? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Shout out.
Well, that, yeah, that laugh was based on a like a director.
A director, a nameless director.
Yeah, a famous but nameless
but
director.
But apparently Mozart did have a weird laugh.
Yeah.
But so
well, you and
our,
I listen to the same podcast, so
yeah,
we're just talking
we're
about
just
should we
good.
Both know already?
Yeah. So anyway, on to the next.
Little did we know how much of a discussion Fast and Furious The Final Ride Part 3 would ensue.
Starring Mozart.
Now that I would watch.
Oh, gosh. All right, so you guys are in between showings. What are you getting at the futuristic concession stand?
I'm getting some anti-gravitational gumdrops.
They still make Sour Patch Kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, I'd probably stick with my
sticking
junior
with the
mints and, you know, way over-buttered popcorn.
Yeah, are you gonna put the junior mints in the popcorn?
Oh my god!
In my mouth, I'm.
I told
oh.
everybody I was yeah. with when you texted me that you had to go pick up popcorn and candy from a fucking movie theater
for Uber Eats. Yeah, that was the dumbest fucking Uber
what?
Eats order I've ever had in my life. Is picking up candy and popcorn from a theater, which you know famously charges 3 times the original price, and then you're paying fucking delivery fee.
It's
and
like
it didn't
$50.
Even fucking hit me.
And
really?
You can get
yeah.
You can
and it was
get
sent to
movie
some,
theater candy at a grocery store.
It was
sent
oh, that's
to some
fucked
fucking
up.
McMansion that was like still being built, and they're like, no contact. I'm like, I don't want to fucking know.
No contact.
Find this shit. I don't want to no look in your contact. Eyes, sir. You will not be greeted well. With
like,
how I feel about this order.
I'll know if it was from a movie theater.
He would, dude. It was in this big present box. It was like stupid the way it was all about presentation.
Wow.
Right?
I can taste the difference.
Yeah, no. This guy, like, he bought a like the largest thing of popcorn you can buy with some like sour candy, and that was it. It was like a $20 order.
But like, he paid how much do you think for
it? I only got a $3 tip.
So he probably paid through Uber like around 40 though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He paid like 40, 50 bucks for that.
Wow.
For this guy.
Money to burn
he's just
through,
fucking
man.
Pissing money down the drain. Fine,
for real.
Whatever.
He's
got to
find some way to spend it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But maybe he's testing out his new surround sound theater. Who the fuck knows? He wants to have an authentic experience.
Then microwave some fucking Orville Rennbacher,
right?
Man.
Dude, they literally pour over popcorn butter at the
they
fucking store.
They got movie theater popcorn.
And I do, guess what? I fucking do grocery pickups. So you'd say more doing that. But he's not thinking in those terms, clearly.
But what are you getting?
You guys seen Futurama? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Shit, are you getting...
I'm going to get Slurm. Some extra butter popcorn.
I thought you were going to say, what were those little...
the little nugget guys?
Poppers.
I couldn't remember the dang name of those. That's why I didn't say it. But yes, that's what I was...
You're right. Yeah.
Oh, shit. What are they called?
The little alive things?
Yeah.
They're alive.
They're like poplars, but it's...
Poplars.
Poplars.
That's right.
Wow. Delicious.
That's what I'm... That's a way to make you feel powerful.
Omicron person. Yeah.
All right, you settle down back into your seats, and the next film begins. A large mound of dirt covered in foot-tall grass sporadically swaying as gusts of winds dance across the landscape, the camera slowly panning backwards as time itself is suddenly reversed and sped up. The decaying skyscrapers on the horizon begin slowly rebuilding themselves as the clouds, sun, and moon dart across the sky. They become a blur. Years and years are reversed, the grass on the mound starting to shrink, exposing patches of dirt becoming thinner. The camera zooms, revealing a human skull emerging, the dirt and rocks lifting, the mound itself a massive pile of human skeletons. The reversal of time begins returning their rotted flesh as the writhing piles of maggot regurgitate their meals. Explosions and fires suck back into the cityscape on the horizon. Blooming shards of glass are made whole again. Time resumes as a tractor brings in another load to the growing mound of corpses. The tractor turns off. The door opens. What are you doing in my swamp? DreamWorks Animation presents Shrek 9, Swamp of Pain.
Oh, wow. I have so many feelings about that. Not good ones, though.
No. You were not satisfied.
I think I'd watch it just to make fun of it the whole time. Just to be that guy. Ruin everybody's experience, even though it's ruined before it started.
So out of, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to stick with 3 on that.
He's tough to please. But we need these kind of critics. We have to have that balance.
That's 2 3s in a row. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, what year does this come out, by the way?
This is the summer 2062 blockbuster season. Wow. So all of these are the same.
So it's not Michael Myers, it's Michael Dyers in this one.
Yes.
I'm a big Shrek fan. Yeah. So I'm gonna give this 10 out of 10. This sounds awesome. It's like a mix between Shrek and Terminator. So I'm like, I'm all bored, dude. Let's go.
Wait, is it animated?
It is. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no.
But the animation is hyper realistic at this point in history, but
yeah, I mean, I would figure it looks so realistic it's like you can't even maybe tell it's animated.
I'm gonna go 5 out of 10 because there's no way there's an archived Smash Mouth song that hasn't been released that would make it onto the soundtrack, which would bump it up like 3 more.
Oh, dude, stars. Smash Mouth made that fucking, yeah, I gotta agree with you.
Oh, shit.
Made that franchise.
What about that cover of Hallelujah, though? That was really beautiful.
I don't like Hallelujah.
Honestly, I think that played during all of what I just described. Sounds dark as fuck.
Fair enough. I can see it.
Well, it's no Fast and Furious 47 or whatever it was, but, you know, it was all right. Sounds like a great movie for the kids. I'd take them and see it. I'd say 5 out of 10.
Five out of 10.
Bullshit, bro. I'm right with you. Bring the kids.
You're kids will be in their 50s.
They can bring their kids.
Well, let's take Grandpa to this fucking Shrek movie again. Yeah. What are we, number 9?
Come out during his childhood. That'd be all I'll ever see.
Shrek 9. Oh my gosh. Well, we do have one Super Shrek fan.
Super Shrek fan, man.
He's gotta be my least favorite Mike Myers character, honestly.
Really?
I don't like him.
Deep dive voice acting Michael Myers, where are you at right now? Alrighty, so the final film. When the rainbow prism kingdom of light is engulfed in the looming shadow of eternal darkness, two unlikely heroes will emerge. It was just another day of work for Ruby Rumple Soft Glow, stocking shelves at the Poofy Woofy Emporium, when an earthquake cracks the foundation, releasing crumbling charcoal beasts that begin shredding the unsuspecting shoppers. Just as Ruby stares into the eyes of death, a voice sounds from the core of her soul. Awaken. the laser shoots from Ruby's third eye, decapitating the beast. Unfamiliar rhythms of forgotten forms of combat become second nature as she begins dismembering and dismantling the enemy, saving everyone she can, crashing through the window into the street. She realizes that even with her newfound abilities, she may be in way over her head, until she sees longtime friend Smoky Squishy Comfy Quartz summon a massive golden axe leaping onto the roof. She follows him, and as the both of them gaze upward at the descending castle of darkness emerging from the thundercloud, Pixar presents The Magic of War, rated R.
I love it. That one I'm going to give 8 out of 10.
Definitely. 8? Yes.
And I'm picturing it, and yeah, I'm on board. I like it.
First of all, I'd like to commend whoever wrote these premises.
Yeah.
These are very evocative. I'm loving the imagery.
I do love the way you
really, I'm compelled it. As a consumer. I'm all aboard, dude. 10 out of 10. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm enthusiastic. I want to see it. Let's go.
Absolutely. The fighting watch, choreography alone.
Completely honest, I would watch it.
Yeah, I'll go 8 out of 10. I'd watch the hell out of that.
Yeah. Pixar.
Or I watched the hell out of that.
High ratings.
Sounds fantastic. 9.5 out of 10. Not quite as good as Fast and Furious 37.
That was a hard one to beat. Might really like that one.
Yeah, it really left an impact. There.
It's one. It's so close.
He just got through saying he wasn't a car guy, so, I mean, I don't understand.
Holy fuck.
It awakens the spirit in me, I guess.
After that movie, he was a car guy.
There you go. There you go.
Shit. Well, thank you, Mean Boner Scooter, for becoming future critics.
Yeah. I don't like critics, and I hate that I scored so low on the first two, but I really would watch the last one.
We were able to win him over eventually. Hollywood sucks you in. So as your prize, you get a lifetime supply of popcorn.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, man. I'm all for that.
Only if it's from the movie theater. Though. Yeah, yeah. I'll know if it's not from the movie theater.
Fuck you.
Oh shit! All right, so tell me about these release shows you have coming up about this album that is dropping.
Well, we got March 9th at the Boiled Owl. We got March 15th at Three Links in Dallas, and we got March 29th at Rubber Gloves in Denton.
So, Boiled Owl, we're playing with Cool Jacket and Labels. At Three Links, we're playing with Aiden Trammell and Paint Trails. And Rubber Gloves, we're playing with Remy Riley, Primo Danger, and Rough Wizard.
That is all correct.
Damn. Shit is stacked.
We definitely wanted to make the best of the release as possible. Tulips really wanted us to do the release, but we booked it a little late, and they were already packed up, and I thought, well, no better place to do it than the Boiled fucking Owl. I love that place. Fuck so
yeah. Hell yeah. That sounds dope. I don't think I've ever been there, strangely enough.
That's
great.
We're going there after this.
Coming out. I'm going there right now. Hell yes. Shout out to the boys in Paint Trails. I've known those guys for a while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cool. They're coming back in the studio in May, I think, to record some more records or some more tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're Cloudland fans.
Hell yes. So, super exciting. The future is ultra bright. And also, I was at that video release. You also have some more videos you're cooking up?
We do, and I can't speak too much on them, but I can say that they will be thrilling, and they will be entirely the vision of me, Motor Scooter.
That's awesome. And the one that dropped on the release show for it is already just out there. Anyone can look it up right now.
Yep, we did a release party for that at Tulips. That may have been the show you were at. I'm not
yes,
sure.
It was.
It was? Okay. Yeah.
That video was fucking awesome.
Oh, thank you.
CopyPot did that for us.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they've done our last three videos, I think. They've all been better than the last one.
We love working with CopyPot.
Great dudes.
Looked legit.
But we just wanted to take the reins for the other two and just do it our way and see what happens, just for the sake of, you know, the experiment of being an artist and all that shit.
Right. Funnily diving enough, into the metaphysical cracks.
Had any coffee with the coffee pot dudes. You'd think that that would be their
but
thing.
But we have smoked a lot of weed with them.
We have, yeah. That's true.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But yeah, I think it's less about the coffee and more about the pot.
Yes! If that's not the slogan, I don't know what is. That's amazing. All right, well, where's the best place our listeners can find all of your incredible content?
OnlyFans.
Yeah. Search
Facebook,
there first.
Instagram, TikTok,
Spotify and YouTube are going to be the spots if you want to see videos or listen to anything we put out first before you get the vinyl in your hands, because vinyls take a long fucking time to press.
Yeah.
So Spotify is definitely going to be a good spot, or Apple Music, wherever the hell you stream your music, it's probably going to be
pretty good. Much anywhere. If you type Meme Motor Scooter into the old Google engine, where
something
what comes
will pop
up.
Yeah, with our new shit.
Excellent. Well, you know what to do, listeners. Go and follow Mean Motor Scooter on all the social media. Stream the fuck out of their upcoming album, Daydreamer, and add it to all of your playlists. And come out to these release shows. They're hitting the trifecta.
We are.
The triangle of the Metroplex.
We want to make sure to give everybody in every city of the DDFW Metroplex, a spot that was hopefully down the road as best we could make it. And don't want to make you go out of your way, travel an hour to come see us. You know, we'll be in your city. So,
and if you do have to travel an hour, if you have to travel 24 hours, get your fucking ass over here, because it's gonna be epic.
Well, we'll be doing tour in September, so if you're not in Texas, for all of our fans on the West Coast, because we've hit that spot a few times. I'm sorry, East Coast, we're not there yet, but we're aiming for you soon. But our focus this year is going to be on the West Coast. It'll be this summer, so, and we'll have the vinyl finally at that point.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, thank you again, Mean Motor Scooter, for being on the Local Obscene.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, listeners, you know what to do. Go and follow Mean Motor Scooter on all the social media. Head out to one of those release shows and stream the hell out of their new album, Daydreamer, dropping March 9th.
Smoke weed until I die. Feels like it's barely working. I smoked 3 joints this morning. I just need to get. I'm craving something stronger. Can't hold on for much longer. It takes the strength from me. I know it's the last thing I need. When I get sad, I feel too bad to care what happens to me. Not cool.
And now it's time for the closing statement with your host, Chief Swiftwater. What's up, listeners? It's your host, Chief Swiftwater, jumping in for the closing statement. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 69 of The Local Obscene. It's kind of hilarious. Backstory, I told Mean Motor Scooter that this was going to be episode 68, and they were sad they weren't going to be 69, but they were 69. My bad, you guys. Fuck yeah, the title is yours. Holy hell. I have literally been going nonstop between taking pictures, doing interviews. I have so much good stuff lined up for you this year. I'm not slowing down. I actually have a photography website that I have launched now. It is localobscene.smugmug.com. There you can see all of the photos I've been taking. And another really super dope thing about this website is each photo has a little shopping cart. You can click on that and you can actually buy physical prints of these pictures. You can put them in a frame, hang them up on your wall. My freaking homie Zuki. She already got one and it looks so cool. I am pumped. You can also get them on big canvases and stuff too. So you know what to do, listeners. Head on over there if you like a print of one of your favorite bands, or I got some pics of the pit in there as well. Get yourself a physical copy of that shit. All the proceeds are going to getting all the software and the hardware, both for my camera and recording, to provide you, you know, with the ultimate podcasting experience. Well, I couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and thank you so much for Mean Motor Scooter. Had an absolute blast. And also hit up Cloudland Studios. Get yourself a fucking album recorded. Get yourself a song, an EP. They do great work, obviously, by what you heard from that Mean Motor Scooter clip. Sounds incredible. Alrighty, well, I think that's all of the time I have for you today. I am your host, Chief Swiftwater, signing off. I'll see you on the next one for the Local Obscene Season 6 Finale!